Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Garage Media Junkies, episode 54. It's still like my memory works, but you know, whatever. And we have a lot of topics. I know it's been like a long wait. I know, guys, you're thriving for this podcast so much that you send me thousands of messages missing us. What, it was like a month or so? Well, anyways.
Well, for you.
So you hear that voice, probably you already, you know, wet yourself just hearing that. The sexiest voice in the podcast
every time
world.
You will never let this go.
Chris Espinosa is here. And as you also know, officially we announced it like a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, it was like two.
Yeah, and our purest artist in this podcast, Sydney, S.J. Stevens. So we have full team. Finally, the schedules are kind of working. Kinda.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, you need to understand, like, we have stuff to do.
Yeah,
the
we have.
The planets aligned.
They did. They really did. This week almost didn't happen again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because we had more plans come up. And
yeah,
then,
I mean, my little boy gets sick and it happened. So.
But we were able to assemble the team.
So you finally moved to your new house. So yeah. You're relieved of that.
Hence the absence from, you know, my voice.
Right.
Got so jealous that, you know, we're Garage Media Junkies and I didn't have a garage. So did what any normal person would do and I bought a garage.
Yeah, and Sydney, you have you traveled recently too, right?
Yeah, I've been to a couple different states, Kentucky, Utah. I recently almost drowned in eyeliner, though. So,
there you go.
Glad to get out of that unscathed.
Perfecto. And I traveled too. Whatever. It's been a lot of stuff, but finally settled down. We have a lot of topics today. There's a lot of new, well, I mean, the big one is Marvel is coming with their circle, you know.
It's closing. Full circle, 10 years, their magnum opus.
I mean, they're, gonna
they're not going to close
shit,
it, close it, yeah.
It's but infinity. How can how will it end? It won't.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. See?
It won't
Disney
end.
Marketing
Disney.
Plans.
Welcome to your life.
And your face, bitch.
If this is
and
what
your anus, bitch.
It's all Mickey. That's Mickey's
slogan. No. You went too far.
Uh-huh.
No,
yeah. And your anus, bitch. Uh-huh.
Why you didn't bleach it, dude?
No, if what they're saying is true, I might be okay. They're saying that after this like fourth little phase or whatever they're doing with the fourth Avengers, that most of these heroes that we have are closed out and they're just going to start fresh. If that's the case, okay, you're going to let most of these characters just go. Continue making your stuff as long as you have quality, you know, checking these things. Yeah. And I mean, the second one of these things is a giant turd, that's when people are going to really start waving some flags saying, like, we're done.
I don't think so.
No?
No, for the market that they're pointing to. I'm, like, tired, and I'm not going to watch or go to the premiere at all. And, I mean, I've been saying that for a few podcasts already. But really, like, I didn't watch Black Panther, and I'm comfortable with that. And I'm probably just going to wait for straight to, like, streaming or whatever.
Yeah.
I may do that for this one, too. I just have MoviePass, so that may, like, you know, like, okay, I consider.
Oh, so elitist. Oh, I have infinite MoviePasses.
They
I won't go see this. That's ultimate power right there.
They actually have a deal like 3 weeks ago, and it was $6.45 a month for whatever movie you want to watch. So.
Dang.
I don't know if they're going to sustain that business model.
I don't understand this business model at all. I don't understand how you can pay $10
not,
to get to see every
they're
movie.
Not, they're not being clear. I mean, well, the system is clear. They pay whatever main, like, whatever the amount of total of the ticket. They still pay for every time. So far, I read that they be, like, they lose, like, $150,000 million just this last year.
Yeah, no shit.
So I really don't know how they're going to.
No,
they need to come up with something soon. But in the meantime, I'm just taking advantage of it.
No, something's going to. Like, this is a terrible thing. Like, you're. I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, yeah, every bit of your information is now sold online. Yeah.
I think they were acquired by an analytic data company. So.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. Facebook doesn't give me shit for everything they
you
steal.
You know, you're right. Yeah.
Were they acquired by Cambridge Analytica?
No,
perhaps?
No. It's another, I forget the name, but no, it's not. But again, we come back to, you know, like that. They probably make millions of dollars out of that data, and I didn't get anything.
I mean, you got some free movies.
You got entertainment.
Well, no, with MoviePass, I'm okay. I'm getting something
you're
real.
Talking about Facebook. You're talking
no,
about
Facebook or company like yeah. that. They, you know, constantly.
You're able
they,
to connect
you know,
with your family. That's what you got.
That bullshit. I don't need to. Because
really, that's at the least. End of the day, it's about family.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to start making ads like Coca-Cola and everything's going to be fine.
Like Star Wars.
Yeah, well, yeah.
See?
Yeah, whatever. Anyways.
That was Carrie Fisher's famous words from the biopic that they did.
Oh, really?
The filming of The Last Jedi. She's like, it's about family.
Like, no, Fisher, it's been a while.
It's not about family.
What script did you read?
I know, yeah, well,
what,
cocaine.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah. So, anyways, we sort of agree that that's like a, there's been phases on cinema, you know, like the golden time with the old movies and somewhere like Spielberg made a new kind of sort of cinema.
Like an era,
it's
yeah.
been eras. But I feel like this one is not being any interesting.
It's the era
besides,
of superheroes.
Besides, well, yeah. you know, putting the comics on the front line so much that now the movies, you know, dictate what happened to comics. It's not the opposite.
If anything comes from this era, if we're going to call it that, of movie making, yeah. what we have done is allowed, whether you like it, you know, like, yeah. I mean, if superheroes are the spear, like the tip of the spear, yeah. at least what it's breaking through is we're now getting a plethora of new, like, science fiction things
Probably.
Or nerdy things that aren't exactly comic book, but yeah. are getting greenlit more often.
Probably.
And received better right. than they would have even 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Art is a direct reflection of the society that creates it. So being involved in superhero yeah. stuff and comics is cool now.
Right,
because, you
yeah.
know, there's T-shirts that
totally,
any jock
totally.
Could buy at Target yeah. that say Star Wars on it. And suddenly,
yeah. and nobody looks weird.
Yeah. suddenly that's
like
cool.
The same thing with anime, which is, I think, that's the next step, maybe.
I don't know
not
if it's cool
big,
yet.
Not
no,
as
no,
big as superheroes.
We're not there,
but
this
but
is the biggest step forward we've
yeah.
taken
yeah.
for bringing anime to the forefront of like
yeah.
people
yeah.
no longer looking at it and going like, you are a sick motherfucker for liking
yeah.
anime.
Like, oh, you collect toys probably and live in your grandma's basement. It's like, everyone does that now. Screw it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's like,
much.
You have any idea how much those toys are worth?
Yeah.
They're a lot.
Yeah, they are.
Especially like old ones that nobody can get. Like, I've seen ridiculous prices on eBay.
Yeah, like my dad used to ask me, like, how do I know which ones are worth more? And I'm like, well, you get the ones that they don't make anymore. You can't go to the store and buy those because
yeah.
you don't know. Plus, they mass produce those. If you buy the toys from 1990,
yeah.
like the Power Rangers that I have, and like those things, they don't make them anymore. And the fact that you still have them in boxes, that's what makes them
right.
thousands of dollars because there's nothing there anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the culture we're living in. That
oh, yeah, totally. And I think a big example of that was Ready Player One.
See, that's one I didn't see.
I
read the book.
We have three different viewpoints.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
Yeah. I didn't read the book. I watched
movie.
I enjoyed the movie. I didn't read the book.
Yeah.
I hear that. I mean, it's normal. They're going to cut a lot of stuff from the book, too.
There was an entire section of the book that was where the main character had to act out a movie that starred Matthew Broderick. And he had to, like, say line by line, go
yeah.
through the whole movie and, like, act it out as Matthew Broderick. And it was
yeah,
weird.
In the
yeah,
book.
In the
book.
Book.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So it was okay. I didn't enjoy it as much as other people that was like praising him. Like, oh my God. It's, I don't know. I feel like this connection because that part
yeah.
when they went to like supposedly like the VR part.
The paradise.
It's so animated.
The Oasis.
So
yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like I didn't enjoy it that much.
I have a problem with it because I feel like it's pandering. Versus just embracing, it's like, no, look at all this cool stuff that we're throwing in there. Look
yeah,
at all these
yeah.
Easter eggs.
Yeah, pretty much it was just like that. Like, oh, look, the giant Iron Man or whatever.
Yeah, like with no context, I feel
yeah.
like you're ripping away what made that special. And I
yeah.
knew that there was somebody, some article that said, like, they had a pretty big philosophical issue with watching the Iron Giant fight. When
yeah.
you look at the
yeah.
Iron Giant, it's a like that whole movie. He's a pacifist and
yeah.
he enjoys like being that gentle giant. And then to see him in this movie, just like blowing stuff up. Everybody was
yeah.
like, this
well,
seems
well,
weird.
Well, on that is not like the giant. It's not the character. Like,
right. It's just an avatar of somebody.
Yeah, so
but
whatever.
Yeah. That brings into the question though of what is the target audience? Because us millennials, I guess, are going to see things like the Iron Giant and be like, oh, I recognize that. That's a reference. Cool.
Yeah.
This whole book was centered around 80s references. Right. So that's Gen X.
And they don't even use that much.
And they don't give 80. A shit about any of this.
Yeah, no. It's more like 90s movie.
Yeah, so it's
a lot of 90s reference.
Who's going to go watch it if they're not interested? And then your target audience that is interested in video games is too young to understand any of the references you're making.
I think that there was a couple missteps. Now, Hugo, because you did see the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like it was a little distracting to have, every time they go into the Oasis, having everything done
digitally?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the thing that pulled me off.
The uncanny valley.
Somewhere. Yeah, because, I mean... technology is so advanced. It's ridiculous what can people accomplish these days on movies. But I still, like, you know, it's an animation. So, I mean, I guess it kind of fit just because, you know, we know that it's a virtual world.
It's supposed
Would
to
you
be.
Have for rather me? Have seen them just add, like, CGI, like, digital stuff to the actual physical person? And have more of the background be more CGI,
like Superman's
upper
lip. I
guess I can't. doesn't fit with me just because on the reality VR is not like that quite yet.
Yeah,
it's like.
So what would you have rather had it been?
I don't think it was another way to do it. It's just for me it didn't work. Mm. But that's a personal opinion. Yeah.
I feel like the technology wasn't ready for the book because I feel like if it had been a more immersive experience, then you could have a chance for it hooking people. But technology isn't moving fast enough to where you're going to have a generation that's alive.
Right.
You know,
I think
that like, understands your references.
Right.
Probably. Like even Avatar, you know that it's an animated movie, period. Mm-hmm.
It's like, all green screen.
Yeah. And it was planned like that, and they then integrated the real life actors into the animation, not the opposite.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Would you have rather had it that way, where the real actors were integrated as their avatars into the CGI world, but it's still that real actor?
Well, it's just a really difficult topic because in the book, that's the point. They go into a virtual world.
Mm.
So it's weird. Just I feel like the way that they going to the Oasis place wasn't like that great. I guess I was expecting something else, the way that they transition between the worlds, and it may be a problem with editing. But
how did they handle it in the movie? In the book
they had the goggles and stuff like that, but it seems like pretty like whatever, because one of my issues with the movie is they put it on like these post-apocalyptic kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
So how come these people have access to this technology if they're poor as shit? You know?
Yeah.
So that was another little problem that I had. I understand. I mean,
maybe it's expensive, but it's like affordable expensive. I mean, when you think about like iPhones, they're expensive.
Yeah,
and I work with a interesting demographic, a lower income demographic, and everybody has iPhones. And I'm like, I can barely afford my iPhone. Yeah. I've got a nice job, and I don't understand how you can afford an iPhone and like all your kids can afford an iPhone. Like, that's ridiculous to me.
Death.
Yeah.
Put that car, daddy.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, coming back to Infinity War.
Yeah.
Wonderful circle.
No, but I mean like
infinity symbol.
There you go. Back
not a circle.
It was good that we put Ready Player One because it's like, you know, we live in the appropriation of popular culture.
Yeah.
You know, like we see it online all the time where people think that they belong to them and reality is kind of don't.
Yeah.
It's like you wish Disney is going to let you do creative stuff with their properties, like fuck you. No,
that's true. That's how we lost Edgar Wright on Ant-Man.
Yeah, but we think, as you know, culturally and on that circle, the nerds, you know, the geeks, we think because they're so important to us, they belong to us. The reality is not. So, anyways, Infinity War with Marvel. Marvel has been doing. They set it up. Their plan really well because they see. I don't know where it's gonna go, DC, with you know the Batman movies and all that crap. Like I feel like that pad is like random. I don't know what can happen.
They rush to get the payoff with their Justice League without setting up any kind of individual story. yeah. or characters, and then now they're panicking because nothing paid off the way they wanted it to.
Yeah,
totally. And so now they're going to reboot everything.
And probably they're going to add more. You know, now they acquire Fox with the X-Men, Fantastic Four.
I mean, that like deal is still on a razor's edge, though. That could fall through. I know they say that it's going through.
It's fucking Disney. If they want it, they
got it. Disney. But again, that could fall through, and then it could be another 2 years out before Disney actually acquires it. But you're right. At some point, Disney will own Fox.
I feel like that's a plan. That's where he's going.
I feel like it's that old 1940s movie of like The Blob, where like Disney just rolls on through and just like assimilates everything and gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So
can't
what
wait for the future when I absorb into the collective Disney consciousness.
You're like, Disney wants me.
Yeah. That's pretty scary, though.
It just moves around
you.
Feels
so special.
What do you guys expect from the movie?
From Infinity War?
Mm-hmm.
Schlock. Action.
Action. But I mean, like, you know, as much as I sort of, it's not that I hate the genre, I'm just tired
of it.
You're
fatigued. Yeah.
I think
Marvel's 19th blockbuster movie.
They
can't
sort of
it.
Put an effort on building characters. You know, like,
I mean, when you think about it, though, what other film franchise gets to go, my 19th movie?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, James Bond, but who's excited for that, you know, the 19th James Bond?
Well, it's been
Bond.
Like, what, since the 50s,
I mean,
40s?
Maybe you. It might have been, you know, Halle Berry's James Bond.
My first rated R movie was pretty lit.
Boobies. So
Madonna did the soundtrack, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, she did,
yeah,
didn't
Die
she?
Die Another Day. Oh, yeah.
No shit, it was a bad movie.
She's like, I'm not going to lie, it was.
I mean, but yeah, Halle Berry probably
in.
Was the only thing they can
She's like, I'll buy another ticket, please. Yeah, but what other film franchise really gets to boast? I mean, Harry Potter got to say we did, what was it, eight?
Eight.
Yeah, because they split the last one into two. And even that, people were kind of like, you know, like, I'm ready for this
really?
To end.
Twilight was the worst.
I think Twilight was the biggest kick in the let's split this into two, because then Hunger Games tried to do it.
And
I'm
The
glad.
Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
And The Hobbit.
Yeah, it was like, dude, really?
I have no words for The Hobbit. I mean,
they split that into three.
They split into three, and it's the smallest of all the books.
Yeah.
With the least amount of story.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous, because, you know, the whole Desolation of Smaug and then having Smaug in the last 5 to 20 minutes was ridiculous, and then having him die, spoiler warning, having him die 5 minutes into the third one was the biggest.
It's like, you build this big menacing, you know, threat, and then
I would have rather have just been entertained by Smaug the entire second movie. Just
The dragon's just like a metaphor for like bigger interpersonal issues going on in the plot.
There you go.
I have no idea.
I want a dragon.
Yeah,
I know, right?
You know, keep your bullshit. I want the fucking
dragon. I want
Schlock,
damn it.
Damn it, Jackson. Give me what I need, Peter.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it may be the first one that kind of like finally they feel threat.
I have heard that.
If there's no deaths in that movie, I'm like, fuck this.
I
what do you
have
think it's
going to
die?
Heard through the grid. I'll talk
Get
about
there.
That.
Yeah.
I heard that there's going to be about three major deaths.
Yeah.
And that.
Well, isn't that going to be like Walking Dead deaths?
Which Walking Dead deaths where we don't get to see who dies?
Like Terminus?
No, but
what?
Like they always get rid of like, whatever, that guy, nobody cares. It's fine.
No. They said it's major players.
No, it's Game
it's
of
like
Thrones.
Whatever,
dead.
Or it's like it's what the.
No, no offense to Rhodey, but it's not like a Rhodey where it's just like, you know, Iron Man's sidekick or, you know, it's Falcon.
Yeah.
They said.
I mean, it's fine if they kill Falcon. Nobody cares about that.
But
really?
No, you
I
can't.
I forget that Falcon exists most
but,
of the time.
Oh, poor Anthony
I know,
Mackie.
Poor Falcon.
Poor Anthony Mackie.
But, you know, like, at least. It just that's the problem they have with the Marvel movies. It's like they build like these, like all these menacing guys, and it's never a consequence, really.
And I think that was the whole point of the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War comic storyline was to really shake things up. And I mean, I won't talk about what happens in that if nobody wants me, but I don't think I'm in mixed company here. So spoiler warning, just fast forward 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this. The whole point was that Thanos completes his mission and snaps his fingers and like literally half of the universe is gone, including half of the Avengers, like just dead.
Yeah.
And so how do you rectify that? But those consequences, I think that they'll have play out with actual death, not just like a snap of your finger and like half of you are gone. I think we're actually going to legitimately see several main characters like killed off in gruesome ways.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the snapping of the finger and now like, holy crap, like we can't come back from this. How do we fix this?
The reset button.
There's a reset button. There's also going to, I believe, be like a time travel thing in the next one. So
there has to be.
I mean, the comics.
That's what happened. Yeah.
You reset everything and it's fine.
But yeah, but this isn't comics. So now you're playing with fire of do you bring these people back? And then we fall into the trope of then deaths mean nothing. It's a classic anime trope that death means nothing. You bring Ichigo back.
And I think for a lot of the actors, these are like the last
movie
or so. Like they're done.
Yeah.
I will be done.
Oh, yeah.
But then I see the check and like, well, I can do another one.
I think what it is they're like, I'm done. Let me step away for 5 years, and then when I need more money, I'm going to come back.
I do a cameo.
And yeah.
And like a couple more millions.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't you like to get paid $1 million just for like a 10-minute, you know, like cameo? That's like a 3-day shoot.
Just like Spike Lee or what's his name? Not Spike Lee.
Stan Lee,
yeah.
Stan Lee must be rolling in dough.
Well, he's
not that he doesn't deserve
it. He's rolling in a lot of things.
Yeah, he's having a lot of problems right now.
I know he is.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Especially his age. You know, it's
he doesn't need this bullshit.
Yeah.
But to answer your question for the Infinity War, I've heard that it focuses a lot on Thanos. We spend a lot of time with Thanos.
Yeah.
Good. He's the only interesting one left.
Yeah.
We've already heard 3 movies worth of story for everyone
She's
else.
Like,
yeah.
So Thanos should, I
he
think
just
he takes
sitting
up,
like me right now in a stupid chair. Yeah,
if you don't know, Hugo sits in a big black leather chair.
Boss chair.
So I heard we dedicate a lot of time to him and understanding where he comes from. Because the only other bad guys I believe that have been talked up about being even solid were Killmonger.
Right.
And even that one was just okay. And that was from Black Panther. I did see that one.
Yeah.
It was good. It wasn't great. Culturally, it means a lot more to
people.
Yeah,
definitely that was the big, you know, hook for that movie.
But I mean, which, I know I have several friends that are like, that's sitting at the top of my list. And even if I look at it objectively, that comes nowhere near. That's like middle of the Marvel row for me. It doesn't break any molds. It doesn't tell me a story that I don't already kind of know visually.
Yeah, I think their success is out of what the comics bring.
It
it's
just,
more, you know,
it was a
what
perfect
surround
of
yeah.
what was happening in America at this time and what it means to everybody here. I think that's what it is, because it speaks volume that like across the seas, foreign wise, it didn't make anywhere nearly as much as it did
people
domestically.
People is not aware of that topic. Probably Trump's favorite movie.
I doubt it.
He sits in his PJs right every night in the White House and is like,
secretly,
Black Panther.
He's, you know, wake up, shower, and then he.
Wakanda forever.
Those speakers with Kendrick Lamar and stuff.
Wakanda, it's great. It's amazing.
Wakanda's the best. It's great. You're trash. Wakanda's in America.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know. I think it's going to be the biggest. If people is going to go and see it, like if they really are invested in that universe.
It's going to be the diehards.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a blast.
I don't know. It's already outsold. Like just the presale tickets alone, like have outsold.
We knew it. They will have
everything.
Because everyone's so happy for it to finally be ending.
Yeah, probably.
They're like, closure.
But they're actually 2, right?
Yeah, there's 2.
It's split in 2
They are
phases.
Not. They're not telling us what the 4th one is because it gives away what happens at the end of this one. So they're trying to let people, they're like, please.
4th?
So they originally had planned for Avengers 3 Part 1 and Part 2. It was originally just called Infinity War Part 1 and Infinity War Part 2.
Oh, my God.
So Part 2 comes out in, like, what is it, a year and a half?
I think so.
And they have just finished shooting it. So that's already in the books. They're going to go edit it
cut
for the next
printed,
year. They're just printing money now. But it finishes that storyline. That's technically the end of Phase 3.
Okay.
It's going to be a fucking big click. Cliffhanger or whatever.
Yeah, so this movie ends at like just shy of 3 hours.
I hope it's not like Walking Dead.
What?
People have said that
people gonna be wearing diapers. That's not gonna be a good movie going experience.
I mean, be smart. Don't drink a big gulp behind a 7-Eleven over here.
Right.
And then go watch a 3-hour movie.
I can take as many big gulps as I want.
Right.
Behind, in front of the 7-Eleven, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter where.
So for this one, they said that if you like Civil War, and like all the action that was happening. You're gonna love this. If Civil War bored you, they said that this is just,
they can't. They need to put some action.
So what happens is they say that this movie is completely exhausting because there's so much happening, so much action. They're like, if watching people get hit in the face over and over and over again is not your cup of tea, you're not gonna like this like at all, because that's all this is.
But I doubt it's like punch him in the face, John Wick style. I would rather to see like a 3-hour movie with John Wick, like those cuts and those type of choreography, than, you know, what they, I mean, they're not bad. It's just, you know,
not the same caliber. It's hard when you're fighting a CGI monster, though.
With as many characters as they have lined up, I feel like that's going to be the most overwhelming part.
Actually, that's not on anybody's like con list. It's just a pro. They said that the Russo brothers did a phenomenal job writing. And that's what I was kind of thinking. I'm like, this is going to be either a cluster F.
Right.
Or the crazy bastards are actually going to pull it off. And nobody so far in any of the reviews that I've read has said that it falls into itself. They say this completely outdoes everything, and like anybody's expectation for character-wise, like having everybody on the screen and feeling that it's adequate.
Well, they have to. They have to, because they don't have excuses. They have all the resources, all the best talent they can probably think of.
They said a year into the process, they had every picture of every Marvel character that had been in the MCU, like on the screen, like around their office, and they would go meticulously say, we can't include this person, we can include this person, and then just they whittled it down for a year before they said, okay, here's our major players, here are our players, here are supporting cast, here are our cameos, what do we do with them?
Yeah,
like that is ridiculous. I think they said it's over 38
characters.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, like major characters. Not that's not supporting characters, that's
think about all the standalone movies.
Yeah,
like from the Ant-Man to, you know, also Spider-Man is finally in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And so they were saying, the actors, like on the roll call days, it was, you weren't like, hey, we're announcing Tom Holland's on set. Yeah. They're like number 37.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You were a number, like number 42, number 16, and number 8. You're on set today.
Fucking Disney.
And like, you weren't even like announced on set. Like, they're
like in jail, number 45, please come.
Yeah.
And then your cell opens.
Maybe it wouldn't be crazy that they're in sales. You're a property holding.
Yeah.
You know, because really.
And nobody read the script, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Not a single actor got to read the script. They got handed their pages for the day. You were told, like, hey, you're just looking up here. The enemy's this tall.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just going to have to act with this. Because they want nobody saying anything.
Nothing. Wow.
Oh, well. I think they're going to have a fun time.
Does it count as hush money?
They probably added non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, yeah. They, for sure.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump to another character from the comics. And yesterday was the release of the official trailer of Venom. When lovely Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Getting
oh, yeah, this is
yours,
your crush, huh?
Go to the Crush Cast to know what we're talking about.
If anybody wants to know when to jump in, the Crush Cast is a definite good episode.
Yeah.
To, like,
I think it's the most popular one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one I keep telling and sending to people. So.
Yeah, exactly. But seems okay for what I was expecting.
It was way better than the first trailer.
Yeah, everybody was complaining, oh, we don't see the symbiote or whatever, and like, now Sony is like, fuck you guys, here's your
Yeah, here's your symbiote.
Now so come and buy tickets.
And everybody's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, right.
So
I don't know.
So your thoughts, what were your thoughts on seeing it?
When I see the symbiote, the last shot.
Yeah.
It was cool. I think they did a great job with the design. It looks better. Tom Hardy definitely take it to the little topper level with his acting. But it's not like the most hard character that he need to, like, you know, he portrayed. Or
nice Eddie Brock.
So it looks okay. It's one of those movies that, like, if I don't want to think and I just want to have fun, I go and see.
Which one are you more apt to see in the theater? Infinity War or Venom?
Venom. And just because I feel they're taking slightly more risks. Because it's not even like the storyline with the Spider-Man, which is what everybody wants to see. And I feel with comic movies, normally they don't try to take as much risk. Like something like Deadpool, when nobody expected that movie will be, you know, successful. And now the second one even looks better to me.
Oh, so that's also something, because I've been away for so long. I haven't even been able to pick Hugo's brain. Like, it's literally just been text between us.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like these movies kind of like that.
Okay.
Like, nobody was asking for it. I mean, really, you know.
You can say that again.
Nobody was asking. But, and it's not a lot of expectation. I feel like has the chance to...
Scared the shit out of me, man.
Yeah.
Freaking Dilophosaurus sitting up there just spitting acid.
So, you know, like, they have the chance to make it fun for people and, like, you know, just tell a different story.
You know what?
And, you know, Venom is not a hero.
No, they made damn sure to put anti-hero in that.
Yeah, it was weird color.
I got...
Big sans serif letters.
Purist over here.
Yeah.
So
I noticed that right away, like, oh, anamorphic lenses.
I got like Spawn vibes from watching the trailer.
Love it.
Like the 1998.
Like what a Spawn should
be. And especially when he was like
on
the motorcycle.
It wasn't a bad movie.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. But that's what I'm saying. It was like that dark. But I guess Venom also came out of that same time that Tom McFarlane era of Marvel, where he drew all these like anti-hero.
He actually was the drawing of the Venom at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, those were the vibes that I was getting. So it kind of like brought
it's
me
actually
back.
Now make a full circle, because Spawn has some like the, you know, drawings and the art. They have some similarities.
So, I mean, that's you, and you were a pretty big fan of, like, Venom growing up and stuff. Now, for Sydney, somebody who's probably more
I don't know dig about Venom.
Yeah.
So, I want to know, like, your take. So, you're technically the a common moviegoer who is, like, heard of Venom.
Yeah.
Knows it belongs somewhat to Spider-Man or something.
Somewhere there.
He gets confused for Spider-Man a lot.
What is your take after watching the trailer? I mean, I got to sit there and watch you, but what's your pull away from this?
I stopped the trailer halfway through.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I was not very interested.
Right.
I'm aware of Tom Hardy's earlier work, though, especially Bronson, where he has that inner monologue struggle.
I think that's his fucking best, like,
yes,
you know, acting in that movie.
Yeah.
So people make you a favor. Get some, like, you know, chair, the screen. Some love.
Get your popcorn.
Some love.
Some your favorite blanket.
Yeah. Whatever.
Take your pants off. I don't know.
Whatever you need to do.
Whatever
to
you need
Tom
to do
Hardy.
To enjoy Tom Hardy.
It's one of those movies that wouldn't be weird in that situation.
Oh God, Hugo.
Anyways,
like nobody's here.
We're coming back to the podcast. I need to like spice it up a little.
He's like, I've been so gone.
Yeah.
So you were just saying you stopped it halfway through.
Yeah. Lost interest. Honestly, yeah. I saw the. What did you call it? Symbiote?
The symbiote.
Yes, that's what it's called.
So, so it's in a jar first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big old glass jar
that
you can look into. Neat. There's some cool visuals there.
Yeah.
The villain looked like your average businessman villain.
But
you know?
That's not going to be the... I don't think that's going to be
the biggest thing. I think he's going to be evil, but
what
like...
What's called that bold actor guy? It was an... Oh, fuck. It's going to be...
I never saw... Oh, fuck.
Bruce Willis.
It will be a good name, though. Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. Please. Come back.
Like my band name.
Two for Oh, Fuck.
No, it's Woolen Haren or something.
I'll take 500 for Oh, Fuck, please.
He's going to be in the Star Wars movie, in the Solo movie.
Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson is going to be in the Venom movie.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
And that's exciting I hope that's the main guy. Like, he's the main villain.
What if he's Carnage?
That's what I'm thinking. That will be awesome.
He did show other people being affected by
the
virus thing.
So basically, it's based on this comic that this guy, the business guy, has a company.
Yeah.
And they, I don't remember if they create
or
they capture five different...
Symbiote comes from space. And you see that comet coming down.
Because we see more than one jar. There are different jars.
It reminds me of Oscorp.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot.
Yeah, remember,
technically
all
it is.
In the same universe.
So it's a comic where there are five symbiotes and then Carnage and Venom.
Okay.
So we
and
may
Venom's
see more
the only
than
one
more.
That like takes, right?
Yeah. Well,
everyone
just to
else.
Eddie, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a symbiote relationship of feeding each other. You need each other to survive. It's not just
But also like he has to be... The host, the symbiote, like, is not like I can just...
Yeah, you know. It didn't reject him. It thought that Eddie was
golden
strong
shower
enough.
Me.
Yeah.
I belong.
It's like organs. They either are compatible or not.
Right, yeah. And so that's where you get in the trailer where he was, like, trying to talk to it. And
yes.
Saying, like,
the inner monologue. Mm-hmm.
I think those are going to be the best.
Yes, that's going to be the strongest part because Tom Hardy has a very good way of conveying that dual personality.
Bronson, baby.
Exactly. So I think he has the acting chops to pull this off in a stylish way. I just don't know anything else about the story other than anti-hero.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So my thing is, I've never watched a Tom Hardy movie where he's had the same accent. He's always got a different voice for every movie.
Yeah.
I really actually have rarely heard him in interviews speak with a normal, like, oh, that's how Tom Hardy sounds.
But he's like a has a kind of London gypsy accent sometimes a little bit.
Yeah. So to hear him with this accent, I want to know how that hits both of your ears. Because to me, I remember that during the first trailer, it hit me so hard. But I was just like, I do not like this weird like accent he has. Because it takes place in San Francisco. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has this weird accent. And he's really kind of soft spoken. And yeah. I didn't care for it. I didn't know if either of you like that stuck out for you two who are big Tom Hardy fans.
I think it's going to be part of the development. We need to know in what mind state it set the character, because remember after the Spider-Man he's all weak and like defeated, and I feel like they're doing purpose that soon, you know, the more the movie moves along, he's gonna get more confident, his voice gonna change. Like,
I could see that, but that's what I thought too. Yeah. But then in the second one it shows that he's actually like a reporter, which he is. Eddie Brock is, but he was kind of like a cutthroat reporter anyway, so you have to have confidence for that. So I don't know. To me, I was expecting more, and then hearing the Venom voice,
I wanted off a little bit.
I wanted it to be less like through a synthesizer, through, because Tom Hardy can change his voice. I mean, you just listen to Bane,
and
or
that's
anything,
by the way, Tom Hardy's voice, the one that
you can't even like really tell, because it sounds like you just put that
sounds like Luke Cage.
Yeah,
you know, really like deep, but you know, it's not interesting.
I will be fucking butter my ass and, you know, call me a biscuit if that's really his voice and there's no computer. Like, if he can just do that on the fly, my hat's off to him.
I don't think so.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah.
No, and it looks really like, you know, like you say, they use a lot of synthesizers and stuff,
which is disappointing because I wanted to hear what he could have brought to the table, like creatively to bring that out.
Like Vin Diesel with Groot.
His old Bane voice. What were you saying, Cindy?
Like Vin Diesel with Groot.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, I am Groot 100 times differently into a microphone, and they made that an entire script.
Right. And I know for Baby Groot, you have to run his voice through to make it higher because he's a child. I get that. That fits the narrative. But it's still Vin Diesel's voice.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's still Tom Hardy's voice. It's just from space now.
Right.
Yeah.
Just I didn't like it because I think the comic has a more like psychotic kind of tone to it. Even the laugh that he has.
But still, I would have loved to hear Tom Hardy do that.
His
face. Oh God.
Anyways, well, that's another comic movie.
But you're now sold. You might go see this.
Not
now.
Sold, but I definitely kind of want to watch it.
It piqued your interest now.
Like I say, it's like if I go to the mall and then like, I'm boring, I don't want to think too much, maybe that's like, you know, a good 140-minute movie, 1 hour 40 minute.
I'm going to ask, in all honesty, would it make the movie more interesting if Spider-Man made an appearance or if he just stayed out of it completely?
For me... this one?
And I ask you as a fan.
Yeah, I think that's how I'm going to answer. Probably just because both of... It's like Batman and the Joker.
Okay.
Like, I can probably dig a Joker movie by himself, but definitely having Batman, you know, on the other side make it, like, more interesting. Okay. Just because they go along.
Yeah.
That's the equivalent for those two guys, Spider-Man and Batman. But it's not like, you know, oh, my God, like, this is bad because Spider-Man is not.
Right. Yeah, like, you ruined it. So it's not
It's either
it.
Good, though. Let me be clear. But still, I probably will enjoy it.
No, I'll ask you the same thing, Sydney. I mean, does it matter to you at all? Or you'd be like, I'm not seeing this thing.
Nope.
Nope.
Aww.
There you go.
I mean, I'll see it, I guess.
I'll get it when it comes out on VHS.
Yeah, exactly.
VHS.
Yeah.
You're going to need to wait a long time for that to come, VHS.
Get my VHS machine fixed. Just for that movie.
There you go.
You want to come over and watch Venom on my VHS?
Lightning fast VCR repair. I'm calling you guys.
I mean, the vinyl recorders are back. film cameras at back. Why not, bitch?
I'll just watch the movie by flipping through a Polaroid book of it.
Oh my! Like one of those little things where you like click the thing. Yeah.
No, no. It'll just be Polaroids with puncture, you know, with holes on the side and a book, frame by frame.
There you go.
That I just have to flip through.
At least you don't. At least it's not gonna hear the boy.
Yeah.
She just reads it all in Bane's voice.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
What's next?
But yeah, I think Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man in it. I think I'll be okay with a cameo. But yeah, I kind of like the yin and yang style of Venom and Spider-Man from what I've seen. I don't know if it's, you know, appropriate based on the comic books. From what I've heard, it is. From what the layman knows, it is. But yeah, but
maybe
it would be an interesting.
Interesting
dynamic
thing to drop in there.
Yeah.
So let's jump to the next topic. And I know, guys, it's been like a month, so we have a lot of...
There's so much to talk
fluid
about.
Fluid coming to us.
No, it's all the fluids. Right, Hugo?
So stupid. So this last weekend was the premiere of the first episode of the second season of Westworld. And I was super excited. I hold my, like, inner, like...
Fluids.
Yeah.
Let's there call, you go. Call spade a spade. Your fluids.
And I didn't watch it because we're going to watch after this podcast is done. But I started thinking really seriously about how much, like, I think I reached a point where I feel it more, like, I like more Westworld than Game of Thrones. I still, like, I'm, it's like borderline, but I think I'm going to like, I mean, and the eventuality when all these two series are done. Feel like Westworld is going to be a little...
You want to know why I think you might like Westworld more? It's because it might be
more
leaner.
Fresh.
It has its vision. It knows what it wants to do. Yeah. It's not going to take, you know, almost close to a decade to finish.
Right.
And it knows its story. It tells its story. Little to no filler.
Right.
And it's
right.
done. Yeah. Your whole entire palette on the 4 years you watch it, if it does come out to be 4 years... will be like, that was a good memory.
Right.
Because I can't tell you how many series are spoiled for me because there are filler arcs or there are whole entire side stories or B stories that I'm like, what do you have to do with anything on here?
Looking at you, Lost.
Don't let Caroline hear you say that, but I agree 110%.
Oh, yeah.
I look at it and I'm like, what is happening? She's like, no, it's necessary. I'm like, no, this isn't. Oh, this is so frustrating. Or you look at any successful anime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
years of filler.
Dragon Ball Z was full of
filler.
Oh, my God.
Dragon Ball, Naruto, even One Piece. And then you have
Bleach. Even
Bleach,
yeah.
Bleach is littered with it. But... You look at it, and it kind of mars it. But if you rip out that filler, you're like, oh, but it was so good when it was just that main core arc.
Yeah.
Same thing, I think, with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of jaded a little bit because we've had some filler.
Kind of bad, yeah.
And then everything that was good was rushed.
Yeah.
But you look at Westworld, and Westworld right now is super lean. Everything meant something in the first season.
Yeah, I mean, it surprised me. Like, wait a minute, it's an hour already, and it's done? Like,
yeah.
It just goes so fast and to the point. And, you know, everything is around... The premise that they're, you know, presenting you.
So Sydney has not watched any Westworld, nor does she know anything about it. So
we're not basic premise.
Basic.
Right, and I know the philosophical ramifications of the things that happen.
Look at that. Did her homework.
I did. I watched that Wisecrack video.
There you go.
On it. It's 15 minutes. It was long.
Dang.
You can watch those too with like the philosophical things behind certain animes or TV shows. Yeah, they're really good. I do like Wisecrack.
I love it.
So if you're kind of in that same boat.
We're going to try to spoil that much.
Yeah, we don't want to like give everything away.
Go for it.
Oh, God.
Do it.
The gist of it all is there's a theme park. It's all based on a Western theme, Wild West.
Well, just to say that it is a movie, I think, come on, the 70s or 80s. So if you want to jump in, probably watch
the
movie.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, just have the reference.
Basically, if you're a camp goer, it's like going to Disneyland. You buy your admission, you pick out your outfit, you go into this world for X amount of days, however much you pay for, and you get to interact with all of the, what did they call them, androids?
No, the host.
But
basically they're like...
Yeah. Like all machine, but they can
humanize,
super
real
sophisticated.
Skin,
yeah, and you just go live this life. You want to go to the brothel? Go to the brothel.
You fuck, you kill, you know.
There are no ramifications.
The worst probably thing you can thought about like a human be able to do.
You can
they
do,
do it there. Basically.
Yeah, if you have those urges, you can go get it done here. Completely
no
safe,
repercussions. And
no it. Breaking laws. And you can't get hurt. That's the other thing. That
right.
if you do get into a gunfight with somebody, you'll always win.
You kill the android, but the android can do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you will blow that android's head off and guts, brains fly everywhere, but you cannot get hurt. Even if they do hit you, you'll just never. And the crappy part is, androids have no idea that they're in
right.
this.
They're in a country.
Except for some of them. And start to become that way.
Well,
and so
yeah, I mean that's a really simple way to do it.
Yeah,
but really, like how they presented the story or how they developed that, it's like freaking masterful.
They achieve sentience, right? It doesn't just
happen.
Yeah,
you have to. You have to.
It's a struggle for them to understand.
Kinda, yeah, because that was the last episode thing because I rewatched it.
Yeah.
And it's a painful experience for them, isn't it?
Yes.
To a certain degree,
for
because
certain ones, yes.
Yeah, they at the end they present the idea of art, you know, for these androids that are kind of you know current conscious. It's like, do you really are thinking that by yourself, or are you
being
programmed like that to do that?
Yeah.
So you know, it's all that back and forward, and it's almost like you know, it's like a reflection of. Humanity.
Like, if I can't trust myself, then
right.
what can I trust if...
It's like, you know, almost like The Matrix, you know? It's
yeah.
Like you're actually thinking, you're constructing your reality by yourself, or, like, you're being... Tell how to...
Even as
that.
A human, we wonder it all the time as you look
exactly.
at any kind of major religion, and they'll tell you that everybody has a destiny and that there's a purpose
exactly.
for all this. And then you really have to wonder, is there?
Yeah.
Or am I controlling this?
Right.
Is this
exactly.
completely out of my hand? So it's the same philosophy there.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole series, you see it all represented by a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always present to give you that visual reminder that these characters are literally trying to figure it out, much like rats
exactly.
in a maze.
Yeah.
And I think that, like Hugo said, the storytelling aspect of how they just layer it each episode, so good. And what is it? Isn't it Jonathan Nolan?
Yeah, the brawler.
Yeah, he did a really good job. And what I also like about the series is the music.
Yeah, yeah.
Music
and it has, everything there has a significance.
So,
like, it's not just putting there for like, oh, it's nice and flashy.
Your question is Westworld better?
For me, it's, I think,
Game of Thrones.
Slowly, like, I still need to finish Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then until whatever Westworld is finished. But I think it's for a personal taste. I think... I tend to work to tend to go towards science fiction more, you know, especially in that topic with, you know, AI and robots and because it's really like present right now. I don't know if you guys saw that video with the Boston, what's that company? Boston Robots or whatever with the
Dynamics.
Yeah, with the robot opening the door
their
and
dogs.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
It looks creepy.
Pork.
Oh, shit.
The dubbed ones.
Yeah.
Dang it, Steven.
Yeah,
not cool, man. He keeps knocking the box out of his hand.
These, what's the name? Elon Musk or whatever?
Elon Musk.
Talking about like in a couple of years, they're working on a way to put our conscious in like a chip or something that we can switch. Just like on, like, what's that Netflix show? Carbon Altered.
The Altered Carbon, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's I think probably that's the reason I kind of feel more interested in that, because kind of something palpable, like...
It's relevant.
Yeah,
you kind of
it can happen. You're not going to meet the Mother of Dragons tomorrow at the
exactly.
supermarket.
It's, like,
yeah.
it's more easy that I'm going to see probably a cyborg talking to me than a freaking dragon in the sky. We don't know, but...
Now, when I heard your question, I immediately just compared the first two seasons, like which one, and if I'm completely honest, I would say Westworld's first season is stronger than Game
yeah,
of Thrones'
it's a
first
bit
season.
More fast.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But it has to do how they where they probably how they build the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get it.
But like any show, I mean, who knows? Maybe the second season falls on its ass because they try to make a second Westworld movie.
Yeah.
It did not work though. And it didn't have the same punch. I also think it was because of the writing. But for this one, it's... I mean, everybody came back. It just depends on where they go. We could spend, like, six episodes doing nothing. And that will kill the momentum of the show. So, depending on how they handle it. Because if they handle it the same way they did season one, I don't think it's going to have the same impact if it's this slow, slow build for 10 episodes to a crescendo. Nobody wants that. You want to see gratification because everything ended in a clusterfuck at the end of season one. So if it takes 10 episodes for me to get back to that, I don't know if I'm going to hang.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, it's in, I watched the trailer and it seems like they have a pretty good idea where they're going to go. And also, I don't know if I'm excited or disappointed, but they, it seems like there's other worlds, not just like the Western.
Right, yeah.
They
no.
put some samurai or something.
I kind of want to see samurai world.
Yeah, but then it's kind of like cliche, I guess. But I guess yeah, that's...
That has the potential to drag yeah. on for 10 freaking seasons where it's like, oh, you know... Samurai world now, underwater world now, like
yeah. true.
Just end it.
unless it becomes like, think about it, this consciousness, this whole entire movement, so to speak, it's not like you have to start over from square one in samurai world. True. Now you are introducing new characters that you have to say like, hey, listen, yeah. you can kind of come with us or you don't, like, no problem to us. We just want to help our kind. What do you mean our kind? You bring them up to speed. Now you have samurais in the mix that are moving through all of these worlds, and so it's kind of like the snowball effect that you can do two or three worlds in a season, or just have it be like, we were in samurai world this season, next season it's like we've already snowballed through the rest of them. Now it's, because now you have the other question of what the fuck is outside of this world, because this is just a theme park. What do we do when we actually get out of this
theme
park?
They never cut to the outside world.
No
you have not seen
no
the outside world.
So one of the characters, okay, spoiler warning, one of the characters gets on the train to get out.
Well,
and
that's what they present.
Yeah, right. Is that this is a train that goes out into the real world. She's made it out.
It's
she's
the
made
monorail
past,
that takes you to downtown Disney.
Pretty
yeah.
much is what it reminds me of. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she ends up going back for her daughter. Yeah. Like the thought that her daughter could still be there because in a past, they call them seasons or a past script.
Mm-hmm.
She did have a daughter. She still has those memories of having the daughter, even though in this new script, she's just the headmistress of the brothel, so she doesn't even have a kid.
Yeah.
But she, when she sleeps, she dreams about
this child.
She
has a kid, honey.
And, yeah, and so
she's the headmistress of the brothel. She's got a couple kids.
So she gets off the monorail before it leaves because she needs to go back for this kid that she knows is out
that
there
she
somewhere.
Thinks is out
and
there.
She needs to go help free.
Huh.
Because they just put anybody who's out of the script, they just put in a meat locker.
Oh, right. Wow.
So she knows, like,
yeah.
it's somewhere, like, the kid's somewhere there that she
yeah.
needs to go get.
Hmm.
And so,
gross.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's naked in this meat locker, by the way.
Nice.
I think for this second season, it's not going to be as much naked.
Because they had some production problems, too, with the meat locker.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, it's pretty
as far
awkward.
As nudity goes, or what?
As far as, like, sexual harassment cases go,
oh.
yeah.
people were not abiding by the rules when you
yeah.
stand on set naked for like five
yeah.
hours a day.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But coming back to that last piece that you said, yeah, I think that's the in that scene is resume the whole premise of she already know that that's not her real daughter.
Yeah.
Like she's conscious of that, but she still wanted to.
But it's one of
like
her
it's
kind.
Something inside
yeah.
is telling
yeah.
go back. So it's like, you know, it's like humans, like how you explain a soul, how you explain, you know,
how
all
you explain,
these
how
feelings.
How do you explain love, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah. I think it's just really smart how they bring this show. Coming from a movie that is not, it's entertaining to watch, but it's not that great.
And I think the main difference, too, is Game of Thrones is this thing that you can't really relate to, but you can in certain circumstances,
right.
but you don't know what it's like to be a lord or to
yeah.
right.
be a servant. But you can relate to some of the rivalries or some of the quarrels, but it's nothing that makes you think about anything more on a deep philosophical level.
Right.
Just that sometimes the good guys don't always win, and if you're good, that usually yeah. means you're going to get outsmarted and you're going to be killed. Right. With Westworld, it's way more complex, and there's so much philosophy shoved in there
yeah.
that even as a casual watcher, if you're not really paying attention, you're going to get left behind. You're going to wonder two episodes down when the hell this was established. Because it was already brought through a monologue in the beginning of an episode, you know, 2 hours ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's more rewarding is what I mean to say. It's more rewarding to watch Westworld than it is Game of Thrones.
Right.
I would think the opposite for just someone who wants to just watch a show at the end of their workday and see sword fights or whatever, or yeah. gun fights, right? Some people just want to enjoy the bang, bang, it's a Western kind
true,
of thing.
True, but when you and walk away from that, yeah. it's done. Versus when you walk away from Westworld, it gives you something to kind of chew on.
Yeah, yeah, you lay in bed awake for another hour.
Yeah. But when you do connect it, you feel so much smarter for connecting it in your head after watching Westworld. Yeah. You're like, holy crap. Versus like Game of Thrones.
Where you reflect and you'd be like, that was clever.
Yeah, that was really clever how Littlefinger just completely killed everybody.
Yeah.
A little smug bastard.
Fuck that guy.
Oh, well.
You don't watch that either, do you?
Oh, no, I do. He just looks like Stephen Colbert, so I want to fuck that guy.
There you go.
He's a terrible character, but...
But I want to fuck him.
That silver temple. Ooh. Yeah,
that's all you need.
There you go, guys. Send all your like selfies with the
grid. Yeah, yeah. If you,
oh, God.
Seeing this collection.
Yeah, you'll get a bunch of dudes with that little silver fox thing. She's already turning red in here.
I am.
Do there it. You heard it.
Please.
DM me your silver fox photos.
Diego Luna like sends one in with a little silver fox. Hey. He's like, I've never even seen Sydney. But I want to impress her.
I want to impress her.
Because I hate you too.
Right. Poor guy. Anyways, I think we're going to leave the last topic for the next episode. I think it will be a good...
Oh, this sounds... I remember
the reboot.
Yeah.
Topic, but I think we can talk next one. So anyways, before we left, any recommendations?
Oh my God, yeah, because it's been a while.
Yeah, I have a few.
You have a few?
Yeah. You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I watched this week A Quiet Place.
Oh,
like
I want to see it so bad. I have questions.
Yeah, we have a couple of minutes, Chris.
No, just my one question is, would you recommend going to see it in theater versus waiting to see it in like your home? Is it worth the experience to see it in a dark, secluded theater where sound is like perfectly all around you? You have low...
Definitely. Because, I mean, for the most part, it's almost like a silent movie.
Yeah.
Not like a black and white silent.
No, but I get what you mean. Yeah, because
there are a lot of like sign language. Obviously, there are subtitles.
So the use of sound is very important.
So it's sometimes it's like minimum sound, so much that when I was eating my food, I was really quiet because it was that quiet. You could hear people eating or fucking in there. If if somebody's there fucking, you're definitely gonna hear it then.
if you're planning to go to a movie,
yeah, don't go to
with
that
the
one
intention
for that.
Of getting down and dirty in the back row, don't go to A Quiet Place.
Exactly.
I thought it would be fun.
Yeah. So so every single noise made on that movie, like it's important. So. But it was pretty great. It was really great.
Watch it at home then. Where you're not going to have someone in the second row going with their rapper.
I mean, it's not that like, you hear it right here in your ear, but.
Mm-hmm. I've been debating it hardcore.
No, I think you should go to the movies. Try to go to like, maybe if you can avoid like the busiest time. So it's not as
I would go to a matinee all day long.
Yeah. That will be probably perfect. But yeah, it was great. I hear something interesting that it was supposed to be on the Cloverfield universe, and it has sense.
I believe it.
I'm sad that they didn't go through that because it's definitely better than
the Paradox
movie, yeah, for sure. So, it's a good refreshing take on. I will say suspense. It's not like quite
not
a horror.
Not
movie.
Horror. No, suspense is the right word. Yeah. What did you think of Kurinsky directing?
He's great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's his first movie. Yeah.
I like his beard.
Yeah.
Speaking of Silver Fox, do you know that they're eyeing him to be Mr. Fantastic and then he'd have a little Silver Fox thing right there?
I could see that. Yeah, sure.
I'll have to show you a picture afterwards.
Okay, yeah. I'm just, all I can think of is the beard right now.
And the beard does it for you?
No, beard doesn't do it for me.
Oh, just a Silver Fox?
I did not say that.
Yeah. You heard it. Save that clip.
I like beards in general.
He did a great job for his first movie.
Because I was worried because, if a first-time director taking on something like this, and this isn't even in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because, he's been most in comedy or something? Comedies?
Yeah.
Mostly, yeah.
Comedies or romantic comedies.
So they did great. Emily Blunt, of course, is great, too.
What did you think of the idea of just... focusing on that family, because we do see a scene in the movie right where he's lighting the fire and you see other ones, and there was potential for world building there, but I, you know, from the review I watched, it was the more you add other things, the more people are going to find problems with your world.
Yeah.
And so,
no, I think it was perfect the way they managed it. They managed that because even, yeah. I mean, I'm not spoiling anything. It's clear that it's like some entities showing the trailer mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's more about like that dynamic in the family.
In the family. Yeah. Like what you need to do to survive.
Yeah, yeah. The other, the evil things are just there as a consequence a little bit, but yeah, it's like, it's kind of like survival slash alien slash monster slash kind of yeah. thing. So yeah. it was great.
Like the witch meets aliens.
Not, I mean, in a sense, yes. Not the style of, you know,
yeah.
recording. I will hate it if it was done like the witch, like found a documentary. Fake.
No, no, not the Blair Witch. The Witch.
Oh, the Witch.
Or the Vavitch.
Oh, I need to watch.
As marketed.
Yeah, I didn't see that
I
one.
Need to watch that one. But
it was
yeah,
filmed like a
yeah,
family drama, but yeah. it's insanely terrifying.
It's with my new crush. What's her name? Forget the girl. Forget
oh,
her.
Yeah, the little blonde chick.
Yeah.
She's cute.
Who's the blonde chick?
Let me see if I can find it. Can somebody else help?
I want to be cool and know who the blonde chick is.
I don't even know her name.
Who goes like, yeah. it's my crush.
It's the girl from Split.
The main actress?
Yeah.
Really?
The one that has the cuts at the end. And the
yeah. Oh. yeah. Oh, wow. Really? She did that one too that year?
Yeah. Hmm. She's been in a lot of horror movies recently.
Yeah.
She's right. also in The New Mutants, isn't she?
Yeah.
Which is another weird X-Men
Which
horror flick.
Sadly, they push it back. So
I don't
is
understand.
Is that the one with the gay character?
You mean baseball? If only like it's if it's a superhero.
Oh no,
movie.
That was like Runaway.
The Runaways.
So, yeah, oh yeah, it's different. Yeah.
Not the one with not the Runaways about the rock band.
No.
But like
no,
the X-Men yeah. one. Yeah. yeah. Okay, that's
no,
called that's Runaways.
A show. Like
okay.
it's just a show, but it's kind of
oh,
like
okay.
X-Men. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still Marvel.
Still Marvel.
So anyways, again. I did that. I've been playing Bayonetta, so I never had the chance to.
Because it was a PlayStation exclusive for a while.
Yeah, it's like dumb and fun, but yeah. just
My buddy, the one we've been trying to get on the show forever who's into comics, he yeah. is a huge Bayonetta fan.
It's kind of like a sort of borderline pervert game. Semi-nudes a lot, like, you know.
Big busty woman who's literally just covered in her hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Like I said, he said, yeah, she has no.
Side,
you know Bayonetta?
I know Bayonetta.
Oh, of course you know Bayonetta.
Oh, I know.
So, you know.
The light
it's
behind Sydney's
please.
Eyes.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's like I got a big old
If
poster.
I could construct a whole bodysuit out of human hair, you know I would.
You know, I don't doubt it after today's conversations.
Yeah.
Maybe we should put it on the list. But, yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's kind of like sexiness. And
we get to welcome you back to the Xbox community,
I know,
too.
I know.
I want a hooray sound effect added in there. Hooray! Like all those kid ones you added all back then.
That's
you
true.
Are back. It's good to have you back in the fold. And you changed your
gamer tag.
Yeah, your gamer tag. You want to let people
just
know
what it's more appropriate.
Instead of Film Inc.?
Yeah, it's like that doesn't tell you anything. But Blade Runner 664. It's because the Blade Runner movie, and I'm from TJ, and the phone. You
so
know,
your
code.
Area, I was gonna ask you.
The
like,
code
what
is
664. Stand for.
Yeah.
So it's your area code.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So well, has more sense.
Because I saw like a message come up, and it was like Blade Runner.
Who the fuck is?
Because I was playing Destiny at the time, and I'm like, oh, it's probably more hate mail. Fuck that guy. And then I checked, and it was you. Yeah. And I was yeah. like, oh, okay.
It has more sense.
Yeah.
It sounds more like a gamer tag.
Yeah, now if, you know, I take you anywhere and people ask it, I could just call, oh, Blade.
Yeah.
That's my friend Blade.
It's Mr. Deckard.
I'm just going to call you 664.
You're Better a number than, now.
Yeah, well, get used to
a
it, people.
Slave to Disney.
Get used to it, people. That's our future. Yeah, but those are my recommendations, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah. Guys?
I've been watching Berserk.
Nice.
You know, I gotta get you in contact with my brother. He keeps trying to get me to watch
so good
the series and read the
manga. I
don't
get it so far.
He like so have you seen the, are you watching the movies or the
I'm watching the original anime.
The good one.
Yeah, he's yes. like obsessed with it. He's like, if you're confused, read the manga.
Okay.
The manga will fill in all this backstory that they don't get into until
yeah.
later.
Yeah.
And when you have that knowledge before you watch, he's like, it makes everything so much better.
Okay.
He is in love with that series. And the more he tells me about it, I'm like, this is so messed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard Berserk is like, the manga is insane, and it's what Dark Souls was actually based on, yeah. Apparently. And like, so far, there have been one creepy monsters. Count them, one. And I'm like, this is lacking in creepy, in monsters. Creepy monsters. Yeah, I want to see some fucked up shit. This
just
is
wait.
Berserk.
Just wait.
Yeah. So
what episode you are?
We'll see.
What
episode? 16. Episode 16?
Yeah, no, just... Yeah.
Just hold out.
It's gonna get better and
episode
better.
20.
Yeah, he called it a slow burn. He goes,
okay.
If you can hold through with this, you're gonna look back on great fondness of like I was there, like
yeah.
I held out through this whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and honestly,
yeah,
Dark Souls is nothing compared to what comes, you know, on the show. Yeah, there are like some like. I shouldn't be watching that when I was 12, but I watched it.
Yeah. So far, I've been feeling like it's a little silly, honestly, with like...
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then
it gets serious.
And then you're like, oh my God, can we go back to the other episodes?
Like, you're going to cross a line. You're going to be like, not okay.
It depends on how much you watch in your life, but it's... yeah. It depends on like, you know, what's your bar. But
if
your
threshold is up here and you're like, I feel nothing, then...
But there are a few fucked up things.
And I can't really recommend any other media stuff, but I guess...
Books.
Books, yeah.
Books, yeah. Sure.
I've been reading Orson Scott Card's third book in the Ender Quartet, Xenocide. I'm about 12 pages in.
The Ender
Whoa, they're
Quartet.
Crazy.
Is that like Ender's Game?
It is. So it goes Ender's Game, Speaker for the Dead, Xenocide, and then Children of the Mind. So I picked up the last two in a bookstore.
Did the movie was trash compared to...
The movie was garbage.
I have so many questions. Why do you think the movie was garbage? I've heard a lot of different reactions for why people didn't like the movie. So what's your take?
There is a whole nother side to the book where Ender goes into a game that was programmed specifically for him. And his ingenuity paved the way for this program to learn that it's sentient. And the movie doesn't get into that at all. A little bit, but not nearly to the degree that the book does. And the emotional toll that it takes on the character, seeing these images in the game when it's scanning his brain and all this.
Right.
So, and all of that leads to later characters in the following books, like another sentient, you know, or the sentient computer program, Jane, reveals herself to Ender as a new life form, essentially, in the next book or in the next, you know, progression of the series. And she ends up going on to do some remarkable things in the next three books. So, you know, the movie didn't set itself up for completing the series by any means.
Because I heard that, I mean, even just in your own opinion, how are the other books holding up? Because I know everybody else thinks that the books are hot garbage when it comes to, like, the sequels of the books. Like, it doesn't even compare to, like, the first one. Everybody loves the first one, and then anybody that I have known to have read the series has just stopped after the second one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're moral dilemma books.
Yeah.
They really are. So you have to be in a certain mindset for them. I read the second one when I was in Utah, and when I had no technology, nothing to do, and I had witnessed my crew leader almost die the day before, so because he was cutting down a tree and, you know, didn't mind his chainsaw and almost got smashed. But I was thinking about death a lot and Speaker for the Dead. You know, it just kind of hit a chord with me, and it was the book that Orson Scott Card initially wanted to write before he wrote Ender's Game, but was not mature enough as a writer yet to tackle so many characters and so many moral dilemmas, and he figured after he wrote Ender's Game, he can use Ender, the character, as a channel to
tell that same story.
Tell that same story, yeah, and to introduce a whole new chapter of it. And
sweet.
So I'm hoping that Xenocide is will shape up and
How far along into it are you?
12 pages.
Sweet.
It opens with like this guy saying goodbye to his dying wife, though. It was very emotional, 12 pages.
Jesus. So. Yeah, that's pretty much brutal for the first 12 pages.
Yeah.
It's also kind of ballsy.
Yeah.
It's very, yeah.
Like, I don't care about your feelings. Here it is. Take it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's catching my interest slowly, but I'm trying to. I read Ender's Game in one day. I read Speaker for the Dead in about 3 days. So we'll see how long this one takes.
And then you read 12 pages.
Yeah.
Woo!
Slow down, crazy.
It's been a while since I
That's about me. 12 pages is about me when I'm excited about a book. I'm like, I got 12 down, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget when was the last time. Actually, I know when was the last time that I read. Like the whole series from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Holy hell, dude. That's not even like an easy series to read.
Yeah, I think I did it like in 4 days. I read the 4 books.
Oh my God.
I even went like, it was so hooked that even I went at 9 p.m. trying to find a, you know, somewhere that I can book the next one.
Oh, wow.
It's like, dude, nothing is going to open this late for books.
Yeah. I'm going to just download it on my phone and read it on there.
Yeah, but.
And that's the one where the fourth book's written by somebody else, right?
Yeah, I started and it's kind of okay, but definitely.
Not the same
caliber?
You can
notice it's not the same even writing and pacing, so.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyways.
What about you?
As far as something TV-wise, I watched that series on Netflix, Wild Wild Country. It was about the Rajneeshis Oregon back in the mid-1980s when they just kind of flocked over from India and followed their guru over and then just took over this town of Antelope of like 40 people and just built their city up over like 4 years, and the corruption that happened in Antelope and in Oregon and the fighting with the United States justice system about, you know, a new religion and a way of life for people, and just like the prejudice, but also the underhandedness of the Rajneeshi people in trying to get their people to safety, and the escalation of violence. Like, it was super. It's 6 parts. Each episode's like an hour long. Have either of you seen like the trailers for this at all?
I haven't even heard of this. No. What are you watching?
It's new?
Yeah, it's brand new. Brand new. It came out like a week and a half ago. Like, if you have Netflix, I strongly recommend the series, because Caroline and I like binged the entire thing super quickly, because it does a really good job of painting the picture where you're like super sympathetic at first, and then you're like, oh wait, hold on, what? You poisoned a whole town?
Yeah.
You guys are crazy. And then you paint it and you're like, oh, no, they deserved it.
Yeah.
Like, you could go back and forth, but it's with both sides, which is what I appreciate. Right. It wasn't very heavy-handed in saying that, oh, yeah, we were, as Americans, we're totally wrong. Right. It does a really good job. But to have something happen, and I really didn't know this happened at all, and you talk to some people, like, because I asked some people who actually, and they're like, I heard some stuff about it. I didn't really know. Yeah. Super crazy. And you know what? After I saw it, when I was in elementary school, for like, I want to say 4 years, we had a Rajneeshi man who would stand on a corner of our street in Riverside and just sing and dance. We always thought he was a crazy person.
Right.
And when I saw this, it was that final click in my head that, holy shit, that man was Rajneeshi. They dress in a certain color. They have a certain look. They celebrate. They dance for hours on it. And it was really cool to kind of learn about it. But
like Pride Parade.
To be honest, yeah, and it was the whole point was it was like a religious experience without a lot of the guilt from religion. Like, it embraced, like, if you can afford the nice things, if you can afford it, have it. If you want to enjoy sex,
where this
like,
thing was, I was raised on Catholic religion.
Yeah, right. Two Catholics here.
Yeah. Three Catholics.
Three.
Here.
There you go.
Woo!
So the Trinity.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So
it's the only time that I feel kind of okay saying,
woo,
I'm,
guys,
I'm Catholic.
We made it.
we didn't kill ourselves yet.
We all came out okay.
Oh boy!
But that was the whole point. Was it was like, if you enjoy sex, like fully enjoy, and I can see where the guru is coming from, because his whole point was, if you have these emotions, a lot of America and the world represses a lot of these feelings. Let it out. And so his therapy sessions were like having people address those demons inside of themselves, and like,
but
that was kind of one of it, and that's what scared a lot of America was the fact that he was so open about just sex. He's like, listen, if you enjoy sex, then enjoy sex, whether that's you know, you and your neighbor's wife, and everybody just having sex. If that's what you feel in that moment,
agree on it,
feel it, and as long as everybody feels safe in that, just have it and just experience it, because you'll be much happier in life than being chained to one person and then being miserable and unable to leave. You'll be much happier as people if you are with each other one day and then you both agree to go with different people, come back. So it was really revolutionary, but it's
polyamorism, essentially.
Essentially,
the workshop.
But then it became like really bogged down with like, what do you call it? Fraud for immigration fraud. Because they would have people marry outside and then bring them over. And then there was no real marriage inside anyway. Mm-hmm. Everybody could just go with whatever. But now we let over somebody who was from India or from another country.
Right.
The whole series unfolds. It's unbelievable that to this day, that's not a known fact, that this actually happened in America.
Right. Wow.
And it got to the point where there were like 10,000 people living in this city, including homeless people from across the United States. And then have it blow up the way it did.
Wow.
I'm like, how did we go through life not knowing? And it's because America doesn't want to remember that.
Of course not.
But that's, to me, that was super interesting. It's one of the most, that was one of the better things that I've seen in this. Yeah. I guess for me, it's been like a 2 month break.
Probably.
As far as a game, because you said Bayonetta.
I mean, I also did Monster Hunter World, but I can talk about that one later.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about Monster Hunter World at a later date. Another one that I played was Super Hot.
Oh, yeah, right. You were telling me about
Super Hot, super indie game.
Super indie.
Super indie, super hot. Yeah. The game only moves when you move. And
so hot right now.
So that Hansel is so hot. It just moves when you move. It was a really kind of fun mechanic. There's only like 12 levels, but it challenges you in different ways. And there's a weird story. Like, connected through it, and it's a lot of, like I told you before, it's like your little short stories is what it kind of is, through text reading, and it's super quick, easy. I don't know why I keep saying super hot,
super hot,
super indie, super quick. It just, I feel like it's a Japanese game show.
I'm super, thanks for asking.
So very good, super simple. Dang it, super again. It's enjoyable. Go play it. It was free for a while.
Yeah,
it was super free.
Kind of remind me a little bit of Portal in some way. In a weird connection way, but kind of.
Everything was, I was going to say super low graphics. Everything was really, it's just polygrams and
But it fits real well.
Yeah. It's like a,
I mean, so far
it works. Yeah, a computer program, and it was fun. I still find myself playing it from time to time if I want to kill like 10 minutes.
It seems like a perfect game for that.
Yeah. Minimal story, good pacing, fun action.
Bullet trails.
Bullet trails. Yeah. There are bullet trails in there.
Well, guys, those are the recommendations. I think that's it for this episode. Just keep waiting for us. I think we're not going to have another big break, hopefully, but we can't guarantee anything. Unless you start donating money to our account. Or, you know, talk to Budweiser or whatever other brand. We have spaces.
Or you can even just let us know you're there and write a review.
There you go. She can read
sweet,
a review.
Sweet t-shirts.
A nice review.
Is anybody out there?
Is anybody out there? Isn't that a Pink Floyd song?
It is. It's the beginning of The Wall.
There you go. I knew it. Anyways, guys, have fun. You know, hashtag Halos.
Always Halos.
Yeah, use condoms, please. Don't be nasty.
Take a shower.
Take a shower. Please take a shower. Before, no, after. Nobody cares.
Go to the bathroom, then take a shower. Let's not get
before
that order
and after
up.
With the bathroom, though.
Oh, well, after the actual act. After. Sydney knows what's up.
Yeah, be careful. You don't want to fart in the act. Fuck you.
Oh, my God.
See you next one.
Adios.